your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good afternoon, David Britton of the Stardome Observatory. How are you?
Space.
Not too bad.
That's good. This is good. Now, big news to start things off on this edition of Space Out. Apparently, the edge of space is now 20 kilometres closer to Earth than we thought it was before.
What the f... Are we kind of nitpicking a little bit? I feel like 20Ks isn't a lot in space terms.
Well, yeah. Well, 20 kilometres will be 20% because the current edge of space is called the Kármán line, which is 100 kilometres altitude. It's where... a satellite can orbit around the Earth without too much interference.
Sorry,
so
Matt.
That's the edge of space. So to be called an astronaut, you've got to get up to at least 100 kilometres above the surface.
I'll be honest with you. I thought you were talking about the edge of space, like outer space.
Oh, big space. No, we're talking space and the proximity to the Earth.
You're talking about where it turns into, like, where I can breathe and where I can't breathe kind of area-ish.
Yeah, so a guy's... looked at the data from 43,000 satellites. He's a very meticulous sort of guy. He must be the...
Hang on a second. Sort of 43,000 satellites.
43,000.
Whoa. Yes. Maybe. We've been putting a lot of stuff up into space, haven't we?
Maybe you're kind of a lonely guy.
That's over a long time. Mm. And it's data from NORAD. So what he found was that some satellites, when they... were coming back down from orbit and burning up, they actually were able to orbit around the Earth below at 100 kilometres. And so this is where this 20 kilometres, 20% comes from. I mean, it's not going to change things dramatically. I think people still use 100 km because it's a nice round number. And it's not going to change the way rockets are sent up or anything like that. What it possibly might change is because at the moment airspace above a given country is part of that country, whereas outer space belongs to everyone.
Mm.
So where is that boundary between what belongs to a country and what belongs to everyone?
Mm.
So for instance, if a country flew a satellite below whatever that line is, over another country, that could be construed as being an act of military aggression.
They might be able to shoot it out and say, hey, well, you were actually in our airspace, not outer space.
But,
yeah, exactly.
Did you, I mean, that's all, Donald Trump's kind of made himself pretty clear, everyone. I don't know if you saw the announcement, David, when he was talking about how not only is it enough for America to have a presence in space, but they must dominate space. It was quite creepy. It was really creepy to watch
it. President Trump, wasn't it?
Yeah. So is this kind of all to do with that? Like, are we? Can I say Star Wars yet? When can I start saying Star Wars?
No, we're not at that yet. That is still fiction,
okay.
Thank goodness.
Right. Okay, cool.
Even President Reagan couldn't get that working.
Mm.
talking about President Reagan, by the way, it was NASA's 60th birthday on Sunday.
Oh. Happy birthday, NASA.
Yeah, well, 60 years ago that
doesn't feel like that long
came into existence.
They've got a lot done in that time.
A lot of money, John.
Mm. As President Eisenhower got all that going.
Okay, all right.
Mm, interesting. Now, David, have they discovered an underground lake on Mars?
Well, it's evidence that seems to indicate there's an underground lake. It's not, you know, conclusive proof that that's what they've found. What they've been using is a satellite that's orbiting Mars that uses radar to see what's on the surface but also below the surface by using different wavelengths.
I'm glad people are still using radar. I feel like radar feels old but is also still quite awesome.
There's very sophisticated radar these days.
Right.
I mean, for instance, to see the surface of Venus, the only way of doing that from orbit is with radar because the clouds are too thick.
Right.
So it's a little similar to sonar used to look at the bottom of the sea.
Got ya.
Okay, so when I say radar, it's not just like, you know, a speed radar from a police car.
I mean, oh, yeah, no. Like, I assume it's a very expensive, radical radar. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. So what they seem to have found is liquid water below the surface near the South Pole of Mars. So
you say water, but they don't know that it's water. That's just liquid something kind of thing, or
they're pretty sure it's some form of water. I mean, in Antarctica there are subglacial lakes.
Right.
About 400 of them in Antarctica. So underneath, you know, many kilometres of ice.
Bottle that up.
There's this liquid water. So what they think is happening on Mars is a similar phenomenon. So deep beneath water ice, there's this liquid ice, layer mixed in with the rock. It's probably pretty salty.
Yeah, and
which helps it be liquid at a higher temperature.
Are they kind of assuming that it's survived all the gnarliness that Mars has encountered over the years and sort of just sticking?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Are they kind of picking that the water lakes have sort of survived all the gnarliness that Mars has gone through? And it's
well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, when we say a lake, as I said, it's subsurface. You can't have a lake of liquid water on the surface of Mars. That can't happen. The atmosphere is too thin, so with the low air pressure, any water ice on the surface just turns to vapor and disappears.
Right. So it's like a sealed chamber. Okay, got you.
Yeah, so liquid water has to be below the surface. It can't exist at the surface where the air pressure is too low. But you can have water ice below the surface. So there is plenty of that. So I mean, if you can get that out and keep it frozen and then get it inside your spaceship and warm it up.
Sort of,
and
then
something to
might make a nice
with.
Face mask kind of thing, nice salty sort of.
Sorry?
Lovely. Like maybe a beauty product will come out of it or something like that.
Yeah, I think they'll have other priorities before that.
Now, David, there are four planets in the sky after sunset. And are we just about to go through our closest approach to Mars of the year?
Fuck, Mars is popular these days.
Well, yeah, I mean, a couple of weeks ago there were five planets, but Mercury is sort of looping back towards the sun, so that's sort of disappearing now after sunset. So you've got Venus, Jupiter, Saturn and Mars across the sky.
What's your favourite out of those?
It's still pretty unusual to have Mars. Four planets lined up after sunset and on, you know, the side of the Earth away from the sun. Mars is actually, we're closer to it tonight than we've been for 17 years.
That's John's favourite planet.
Well, it's a lot of people's favourite planet, and with good reason. So we've been going through this, what we call Mars madness, because we've caught up with Mars in the orbit. Every couple of years this happens, but this time we've caught up and we're a bit closer than normal. So in a telescope, Mars looks bigger. The problem, though, as I mentioned last time, this was a massive dust storm. That covered the whole planet. It's a global dust storm. These occur periodically.
Dust storm or smoke screen?
Dust.
That's what you got to think about. Is it thinking, oh, they can see me, I better put my smoke on, sort of thing?
It's dust. I mean, on Mars, there's no rain to dampen down things. It's dry. As dry as you can imagine.
Oh,
it's a cold,
yuck.
Dry desert planet. So any wind that grinds away at the surface rocks, that dust is going to stick around for millions of years and accumulate. It's very, very fine what is up in the atmosphere, like talcum powder, baby powder, but this phenomenon means it covers the whole planet from all the way around and top and bottom. It does look like it's starting to die down now, it's starting to subside. So people getting out to look at Mars, because now is really the best time.
John, your favourite.
It's actually getting better, and so people should be encouraged to not give up on Mars because of the storm. It does seem to be dying down. So fingers crossed that continues.
Fantastic. Now, can we head along to the Stardome and look through the telescope at the Stardome at Mars?
Do you guys have Mars t-shirts that we can buy, like a band t-shirt, like my favourite planet kind of thing?
We do have T-shirts. I'm not sure if we have those particular ones.
Okay.
We have to come along to the shop and have a look.
Fair enough.
Help you there. I'm sorry.
No, you're all right.
I checked out all the stock and I haven't.
That's strong advice. Exit via the gift shop kind of thing. Got you.
Yeah, we've got the large Zeiss telescope is available for people to look at Mars. That's Wednesday to Saturday nights for the rest of August. That's from 8 o'clock at night till late, so we're not putting an end time to those viewing times. There's $5 per person. You don't have to book, but we can certainly need about 15 or 16 people in the dome at a time. So if that's full, then there'll be a bit of a queue.
Sounds cozy.
While, we get those people through and we let the next lot up. So the Zeiss telescope is definitely available for the rest of the month, Wednesday to Saturday for that. We've also got another sci-fi movie. You might remember we had one a couple of weeks ago. We've got one coming up. It's called Robinson Crusoe on Mars.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a 1964, I think, classic. You know, the Robinson Crusoe idea of being marooned. I mean, The Martian, we had a more up-to-date version of that more recently from Hollywood.
Matt Damon.
So this one's a little bit older, but it's, you get a drink and popcorn, so it's R18, ID required for the wine or beer.
Mm-hmm.
$25 for adults and $15 for children for that.
And that's the 8th of August, that one?
Yeah.
Good time. I like how it's a nice, small... It feels, you feel a little bit more special when there's only about 15 other people in a room with you, don't you?
Mm.
Hey, David, we just had a text in from the last time. Apparently, will the laser shot into space go on forever and ever and ever and ever?
The laser shots into space?
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking. Maybe like a big old grunty laser. Maybe they're talking about that laser that we were talking about last time.
Well, in anything... like light or radio waves sent into space does keep on going. Yes, so if you were thinking about aliens listening in on us, any aliens further than about 100 light years away won't be able to hear us because our radio waves haven't reached them.
Okay, well.
Because those radio waves are traveling at the speed of light. So, any aliens within about 100, well, I'd say 120 light years, I suppose, now, if they were able to detect that sort of thing, they'd be able to hear, you know, early radio broadcasts. And, you know, it's like the movie Contact where they pick up I Love Lucy.
Hopefully, yeah.
They keep on going. But obviously the further away from the Earth, the dimmer they get. So the actual strength of that signal reduces very markedly the further away.
Oh, question answered. Thank you. I think you nailed it. Thank you, mate. Perfect.
No problem. One thing that people might like to look out for is on August the 13th or so is the Perseid meteor shower. This is in the morning sky before the sunrise.
Ooh.
Looking north, that's the peak. We're low in the southern hemisphere, so it's wee bit low, but there are some bright meteors that might come off that. So before sunrise, you know, from about 3 in the morning onwards, before and after August the 13th, looking north, there might be some good meteors from that shower.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, David.
And, good to talk to you again.
Everyone, head along to the Stardome Observatory there in One Tree Hill and get involved in some outer space action.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, mate.
See you soon.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.